Yeah! How about that, Kirk? That's some pretty fancy introduction right there. You're a Raider, pre-half and post. He's got you all covered. He's got you locked in and ready to go.
Job well done always by Chris, man. Job well done.
Absolutely. So, all right, let's get – I want to get right to this because I just want to make sure, like Chris said there a second ago, you and I have done a million shows together, right? Yeah. Since the Rams have come back to Los Angeles, you and I have been doing those games from the jump. So you and I have spent a lot of time together. We've gotten to know each other pretty well. And if I could be so bold, I would say that you and I have become friends over the last 6 years. Is that all right?
Man. Yeah, we're guys. We're pals. We're good.
Okay, good. So with that in mind, I have to tell you something. You have a very high bar to clear today. Because my man DeMarco Farr came in hot yesterday. Here's what you have to surpass today on the show. Yesterday, I found out that DeMarco Farr eats a quarter pounder without ever taking it out of the box.
Wait, what?
It never leaves the box. He opens the box and puts his face in the box so he can eat it while he drives so nothing spills out of the box. That's the sort of insight that I need you to bring to this show today.
I can't do that. When you talk about quarter pounder, are we talking about McDonald's quarter pounder?
Yes.
See, I've graduated from the McDonald's quarter pounders. Okay. Now, if he was talking about the In-N-Out burger with eating it through the wrap, that's a little bit different. You know that little film that they put around, and it always has
paper.
That extra. Yeah, it has that extra piece of cheese.
Of course.
Don't act like I'm the only one that eats that extra piece of cheese that's caught up on the little wrapping around the In-N-Out burger.
Look, that little cheese, little gold nugget at the bottom of the paper is arguably the best thing about the burger. It's like, you know what it is?
I never thought of it like that's what it's called, the golden
it's the gold cheese nugget at the bottom. But what it basically is, it's like the prize in a box of Cracker Jack. Remember when you'd go to the ballpark and you'd get a Cracker Jack and you go through, maybe get the little plastic ring or the whistle, or if you were really lucky, you'd get the tattoos.
Remember?
Yeah, that's what this is. Only it's the same prize every time, and it's a great prize—the little cheese nugget. I just wanted to kind of that you're really to power through the paper is a good start. That's a good start.
There we
to
go.
Today's show.
All right, I got you, man. You told me he set the bar high, and now it's my duty to go out and take care of business.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's get right to what we saw last night at Dodger Stadium. And Kirk, I don't remember the last time I've said these words. The Dodgers picked the game off the Giants last night. It took such a long time to get there, but here we are because it was, 3 weeks ago where Will Smith hits that walk-off home run against the Giants to bring them within a couple of games. You're thinking, okay, here we go. The Dodgers are finally going to catch fire. They're going to go past the Giants. The Giants are going to kind of come back to the pack just a little bit. Well, fast forward nearly a month later, and they'd extended their lead. They finally got one last night. The Giants finally lost, and the Dodgers finally won.
Yeah, and I've been saying it for a while, Travis. If you're the Dodgers, you can't focus on what's in front of you. Don't focus on the Giants. Focus on yourself. And I thought that was what you saw last night, was a game in which you can create pressure by always peeking at what the Giants are doing. Or you can sit back, Travis, and say, you know what? Let's go play our game. Let's go have a little fun. Let's go do what we're supposed to do. And look, that stuff will take care of itself. How many times have we heard people say that? Hey, that stuff will take care of itself. Do what you're supposed to do. That's what I saw from the Dodgers last night. It looked, gave me kind of what I've seen from Dodgers games in the past. Like, you're supposed to win the game that you're supposed to, right? Like, that's a game that you got to win. Let's just be honest. That team is not as good as you. You got to win, though. And so I remember I had a coach in high school who used to always say the same thing. Like, I know they don't have the same talent as you, but they still have an opportunity. Don't let them have that opportunity. And last night from the beginning, it was like the Dodgers stepped on their throats and just never let up.
No, they did what they, like you said, they've beaten the Pirates 15 times in a row. You are a former professional athlete, so you'll understand this as well as anybody. And football is maybe a little bit different, but it's not entirely different. If both teams are getting paid in professional sports, no one should ever beat the other guy 15 times in a row, ever. Right? No. The Pirates are not as good as the Dodgers. That goes without saying. But the Pirates have Major League Baseball players. They have guys that are getting paid to play baseball. They should be able to win more than 0 out of 15. And the Dodgers continued to put it on them last night. That was the good news for them. And there's a couple of other things that took place last night, Kirk, that I think are super important and really positive for the Dodgers. And just, A, you can finally look up. And I kind of agree with you when you're saying you only can worry about what you have control of, which is playing good baseball.
Yeah.
But when you go out there and you win, I think the Dodgers have won. They've won 12 of their last 15. That's playing pretty damn good baseball. And you look up and you've made up one game. That's pretty discouraging. That's pretty discouraging to think about it like that. So I you know, I get worry about yourself, but here's what happened last night that was great. They didn't use any of their bullpen. They went out there and took care of business with basically two pitchers. They went out there and had the starting pitcher go out, Justin Brule, and he pitched an inning and two-thirds, okay? And then they brought in Mitch White, and he pitched the rest of the game. He went 7 1/3 innings, didn't give up any runs, struck out a handful of guys along the way, six, only walked a couple, only gave up a couple of hits, and for the first time seemingly forever, they didn't have to burn through everybody in their bullpen. The Dodgers had a laugher-easy game for the first time where they didn't use bullpen guys in I don't know how long.
Yeah, and this is what the expectation was this season, right? That you've got some starters that can take you into the deep innings, maybe bring in a relief here or two, but you don't have to rely on that relief pitching innings 5, 6, 7, and 8, right? You need someone that can get you to the 7th, maybe even past the 7th, and then you have enough arms that you feel like if needed, we can go to them, but we don't want to have to rely on them. Last night was not relying on arms in the bullpen. Last night, White did what he was supposed to do, and I was just kind of watching it, and it felt like it also woke up the bats too, right? If you know you've got a pitcher who's out there dealing, you know what? I can take some free swings. I'm not always worrying to have to do what? Just make contact because we just need base runner. Like, oh, no, he's dealing? Okay, I'm going to try to take a couple big swings. And that's what you saw. Guys were just like, you know what? It's you can tell the difference. And I knew that. And I go back to my career on this one, Travis. Jamarcus Russell was the quarterback with me with the Raiders.
I remember.
And I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm sorry. I know it's not my place to apologize for that, but I feel like somebody owes you an apology for saddling you with Jamarcus Russell.
I'm just saying, those prime years of my career, Travis, just kind of gone. But I'm going to be honest, but I knew going into the game that myself and the defense, we had to be perfect. Like, there was no room for error. There was no room for, could I take a chance here? Do I not take a chance? Hey, there's an opportunity for an interception. There's an opportunity for me to go backdoor on a play. You know, I had to stay true to what the defense was asked of me to do. I had to stay true to what the game plan was. There was no hero ball. There was no freelance. But if you got a situation where you have a quarterback or you have a pitcher in this case who's doing everything right, you actually have the confidence that, you know what, an 0-2 count here, I'm sitting for a curveball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, 3-0, I'm going to take a chance at trying to hit one, a 3-0 fastball. You can't do that if you felt like, oh, I got a pitcher who is kind of shaky. It's maybe a low-scoring game. I'm more worried about getting on base than rather just free hitting.
So when we were talking with DeMarco yesterday, he was laughing at me. He was calling me a delusional Dodger fan because what I said was yesterday that even though the Dodgers at the time were 4 games back, and even though the Dodgers had played really good baseball for a couple of weeks, they hadn't chipped away in any of the lead that the Giants has put together. He's like, why do you think they're going to win the division? And my answer was pretty simple. Because they're better. I know that, you know, I know that their record says that they're not. I know that they're behind the Giants, so therefore the Giants are, air quotes, better. Right. But I go player for player. I go position for position. I go pitcher to pitcher. I go right on down the line. The Dodgers have better guys at virtually every spot. There's not, you know, maybe you could argue Buster Posey over Will Smith. Maybe not. There's a whole bunch of guys that you'd rather have off the Dodger roster than the Giants roster. I still feel like the Dodgers are going to win this division. I don't feel comfortable enough to bet my house on it, but I feel comfortable enough to say it out loud over and over and over again. Am I being a delusional Dodger fan, or as you see it, do the Dodgers still have the, you know, the label of the team to beat around their neck, even though they're 3 games behind the Giants?
I think it's just chipping away slowly. It's not going to happen overnight. I think that's what happens is that people want it to happen overnight. They want to catch up right away. It is going to be a slow, slow pace to this race. But I think it's going to wind up being one of those fun last 2 weeks of the season where every game feels like a playoff game because nobody wants to be in the wild card. Nobody wants to have that one game scenario of are we in, are we not. I like having the situation that the Dodgers are going to have that last 2 weeks of playing playoff type baseball that will even gear them up for the postseason, whether they're in the division series or they have to play in a wild card game. These last 2 weeks, whenever when they come up, are going to be fun because now you are playing for a division title. You are playing. Your matchups are going to be about that. You won't be just laxed, right? You're not that team in the NFL who's got the first round bye.
Right.
Like, no, you're playing and you're going to. And how many times have we seen it? We've seen it in the NBA with the play-in teams. We've seen it wild card games. In football, we see it a lot now in baseball. Remember before it was like you wanted to be in the wild card because it almost guaranteed you a spot. Remember for a couple of years, that couple year stretch, Travis,
sure,
where teams would be in a wild card and all of a sudden they're playing for a World Series. Like, how did that happen?
The Nats did it a couple of years ago.
Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Because you learn, you feel like, hey, we've been in these pressure situations before. That may be what's best for the Dodgers anyway, that last couple weeks of the season being in contention to, I think, overtake the Giants.
I like where your head is on that wild card thing. I'd still very much like to never have to play in it. A one and done in baseball is a pretty terrifying proposition. Yeah, that scares me dead. So here's the other part of this. I asked Slee this, was it last week, guys? Maybe the week before? Like, if you had to say, who's the MVP of the Dodgers right now? There are maybe four or five guys that you could have thrown in as legitimate answers. And certainly Chris Taylor has to be on the list. Walker Buehler has to be on the list. I think you could put a guy like AJ Pollock on the list because he's a guy that's getting hits every single night. I think he had three more hits last night. Mm-hmm. He cooled off a little bit prior to that, but he's had a really good season. And then, of course, Max Muncy was on the list as well. Not only has Max Muncy clearly separated himself from that group on the Dodgers as far as most valuable player on the Dodgers, I don't know if he hasn't put himself right smack in the middle of the MVP conversation for the National League at whole, Kirk, because look around right now. The field is wide open. You look in the American League, if you think it's somebody other than Shohei Ohtani, you shouldn't be allowed to talk about baseball. Okay, we're done. If you think – I get it. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
He ain't the MVP. Stop.
No.
Just stop. So over there, that's an easy one. That's the easiest decision anybody will ever have to make. But in the National League – you've got Fernando Tatis, who is fantastic. He's missed a lot of games. His team's 12 games out of first place.
Right.
Okay? You've got Bryce Harper, who's 3.5 games out of first place, not in a wild card position either. You've got Jesse Winker from the Reds, who's 9.5 games out of first place and not in a wild card position. Max Muncy's the best player on the second best team in the National League that has a comfortable lock on a playoff position, still is the betting favorite to win their division. I don't know how it isn't Max Muncy at this point.
No, I agree with you on that point. And I think only thing that's going to help out is that over the next couple weeks, right, as we wind down this season, a lot more Dodger games will be televised nationally because they all mean something. They all matter. And that's where people who are voters may take a look at Muncy a little bit more than the beginning of the season like Tatis was. Like, Tatis was the beginning of the season. He was like, oh, wow. And the Padres were a great story. Look how quick that fizzled out. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Remember there was a rivalry, by the way, between the Dodgers and the Padres?
They still beat the Dodgers like a drum. But the Padres, the wind has come out of their sails. They since the All-Star break, the Padres have not only not been very good, they've been bad.
They've been bad. Really bad.
Yeah.
And so are we rewarding Tatis as a good player on a team that's third in their division, that's not even in the playoff hunt right now? That's why I think that Muncy has definitely put himself, I think, in good company. Will he win? Is there a little bit of Dodger fatigue when it comes to those awards? You know what I mean?
That's another question. Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just like, hey, we're tired of giving, because you can give it to someone on the Dodgers every year. Let's just be real. Just because they're one of the good teams in baseball. But that is one of the difficult situations I think baseball writers have to figure out.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the Dodger fatigue. It's an embarrassment of riches. They have a right fielder who's an MVP who's not even playing right now. Mm-hmm. They've got a center fielder who's an MVP who can't get the ball out of the infield most nights. You've got a deadlock cinch Hall of Famer that's on the rack right now in Clayton Kershaw, who's won an MVP in multiple Cy Young awards. Why not throw in a fourth MVP and a guy who you pulled off of the scrap heap a couple of years ago from the Oakland A's? It's unbelievable how good they are at A, spending their money, B, identifying players, and then just C, kind of giving them an opportunity to thrive. All right. I mentioned him a second ago. In 15 minutes, we're going to talk about Shohei. Is he having the best season in the history of baseball? But coming up next, is a ballgame the best place to take a date? And can the Dodgers learn anything from Tampa Bay and their Super Bowl run from last year? That's coming up next. This is Travis and Slee. Kirk's in for Slee.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got me started on the little gold nugget of cheese in the corner, Kirk, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little preoccupied at this point.
I just love that part of it, man. I'm serious. If you're at home and you take that In-N-Out burger out of the wrapper, and all of a sudden you see these little cheese nuggets still on the wrapper, and you got to figure out what's the best way to take them off. So it's like I place the wrapper on the counter and like slide my finger up the paper, and then like it like wedges the cheese up almost like you're digging that.
No,
yeah,
that's
all right. That's too much info, man.
No, that's very good technique. You should open. You should do like a YouTube tutorial. Here, hi everybody. I'm Kirk Morrison, and when I eat a double double, you could do one like that.
And next thing you know, I got my own YouTube channel. See, look at Travis, always forward thinking. Appreciate that.
Always thinking. I want to read this tweet from you, or to you, I should say. This is from Duran, and he writes, "Hey, is there such a thing as a seven tool player? Because the Angels have one." We're going to get to Ohtani coming up in a little bit, but it really is something else, Kirk, to see Ohtani do what he's doing. And I have such mixed feelings because it's such an extraordinary accomplishment, and it's so unique, and it is the most jaw-dropping thing I've ever seen. But the games are just – they just don't matter. It's weird.
It's bad, Travis. It really is. It's almost to a point where you're kind of doing what NBA players talk about a lot when they see good players in bad situations, and they're like, just free that man. Free him.
Yeah.
Because the markets are just – it's just not it, man. Like, no, free him.
It's Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, something like that. Absolutely. All right, we'll get to Ohtani coming up here in just a few minutes. But right now it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And we were talking this morning, Kirk, and I thought you said something that I had not heard anybody else say that really makes a ton of sense to me, and in particular the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers connect to the Los Angeles Dodgers and how those two things may come together.
Yeah, because I was just looking at, for me, I always look at playoff teams, or that's not playoff, championship teams.
Mm-hmm.
How was the run? What was the run like? You can go back to the Lakers throughout the bubble and how they finally to manage through the bubble and won a championship. No matter how they did it, they did it. Same thing with the Dodgers a year ago, a pandemic championship, but they found a way to win a World Series. Everybody had a level playing field. When it comes this year to watching the Dodgers, yeah, they're coming in as marked men. They're coming in as the team that everybody wants to beat, the defending champions. I understand that. But I looked at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who just won the Super Bowl. And sometimes you just look at, wow, great run, they won. But people forget about how it started. How did that season start? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were not one of the best teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They actually had a rough start. Tom Brady's first year in Tampa. And I want people to remember the New Orleans Saints beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice.
Soundly.
Like, beat them bad twice. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, New Orleans, it's this and that. And I'm like,
Kirk,
okay.
Let me stop you right there. I don't mean to cut you off, but I think you make a great point that not only did New Orleans do that to Tampa in their division, but remember the Monday night game where the Rams went out to Tampa and Jared Goff looked like good Jared Goff against that Tampa team? And then even at the end when the Rams kept giving the ball back to Tampa, giving Tampa a chance to kind of hang around, Tom Brady wasn't able to do that Tom Brady kind of thing. And I remember you and I talking about it thinking, this is not a championship team. This does not look like the Tom Brady that we've seen in New England. You can almost scratch them off the list, and, well, shows you what I know.
Because then you have time to realize, okay, there's still a lot left ahead. And the Dodgers have a lot left ahead. So did the Buccaneers. They found a way to, after a bye week, they never lost, Travis. They won, like, I believe, was 6-7 games in a row, basically the final part of their season. And then they went into a wild card game against the team that we just talked about, the New Orleans Saints, that beat them down twice prior in the season. But in the playoffs, the Buccaneers beat them. And I'm thinking, could that be the situation with the Dodgers right now? could that be that Dodgers-Giants series if it happens, right? The team that beat you up during the regular season, but you got healthy at the right time. Because right now, we're not even watching the best Dodgers, right? We're watching, man, and I brought this up to you earlier, are we watching the authentic version or a replica version? Like, seriously, for all those people who like authentic jerseys or replica jersey, this is not an authentic Dodgers team right now. It's the replica. It's the one that they're putting out there hoping that you're excited about wearing it.
You always see it from a distance.
It's that jersey that you know you can't put in the dryer. It's the jersey that, you know, you got to get a good wash, maybe even a hand wash, because you're scared to even put it in the wash. Just warm water in the sink with soap, right? Yeah. Because this Dodgers team, I'm looking, I'm saying, like, they're not authentic yet. They will be authentic in the coming weeks. They will get guys off the injured list. They will get guys finally playing, and we'll see the authentic Dodgers at a time where people are throwing stones at them. All of a sudden, they're healthy, and they can go on that run and be right back in the World Series. The Buccaneers, the same thing. They had a rough start, and then all of a sudden they got healthy, things started to click, and now they were the best team in the NFL at the end of the year, the last team standing. That's all the Dodgers have to worry about, is being the last team standing. Now, look, you have fun, you do what you got to do, you're getting beat up by some teams, you're beating other teams up, but as long as you're healthy at the right time, there's not a team in Major League Baseball, I think, that can beat the Dodgers when they're healthy, when they're full, and when they're authentic.
Yeah, there's a lot there, Kirk. I want to go back. You mentioned the replica jersey that you're not allowed to put in the dryer. You know, you get the authentic one. Now, first of all, that one costs like $300, so not a lot of people are rolling around in an authentic one.
My first replica jersey, by the way. Do you know what my first replica jersey was?
Hold on, let me think. Give me how old you were when you got it.
I believe, golly, my first football replica jersey.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about one of those ones that you get with the helmet and the shoulder pads and all that stuff.
Yeah, the kind you get at like Foot Locker, right? That kind
right.
of deal.
My first replica jersey my dad bought me.
Okay, so how old were you roughly?
I had to say like 10, 11.
Okay, so you were still a little kid.
Was it a champion jersey?
So
it might have been a champion jersey. But
you grew up in the Bay Area.
I grew up in the Bay Area, yep.
You're 10 years old.
Yeah.
And you are a football player, and you're on the defensive side of the ball. I know that you're on the East Bay, so it's not a 49er. It's got to be a Raider.
Correct. It's going to blow your mind.
Tim Brown.
No, heck no. And the thing about it, I got it. It was on discount. I could tell because the dude wasn't even on the team anymore. I had a Jeff Hostetler Raider jersey.
That's great. With number 15, right?
Number 15, Jeff Hostetler. Yeah. Yes.
There you go. I love it. So you got you've got the authentic one, real expensive, real nice.
Correct.
You've got the replica one. You got to be careful putting it in the wash.
Right.
Because I had the Dodger T-shirt that you would get at the game, right? And you could, and the second you put it on, you felt like Steve Garvey. Like, hey, yo, Leo, check me out. I'm Steve Garvey. Right here. Look, I'm Steve Garvey. I got the shirt. What do you mean I'm not Steve Garvey? And then you put it in the wash, and instead of saying Dodgers on the front, it'd say Odd. Like the front and the end of the Dodgers had fallen off, and you really couldn't even, like, what the hell is that? Like, what's an Odd? It doesn't even look like you got anything going. So you got it there. So that's I like your comparison between the Dodgers being an authentic or a replica. But what you're talking about, if I have this right,
yeah,
you're talking about pedigree.
Yeah,
the Tampa Bay Bucks had pedigree, right?
Correct.
Tom Brady has pedigree, maybe more so than anyone else. Rob Gronkowski has a pedigree. That those guys coming in, they know exactly what they're doing. It may not click right away, but there's no question that they're going to figure it out. There's no question that the pieces are going to come together because they've done it before. There's nothing that you're going to throw at them that they haven't seen before. Stop me if this doesn't sound exactly like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You think that, look, Clayton Kershaw hasn't pitched in a while, and who knows when he's coming back. He did play catch the other day. Hopefully he's on his way back. Mookie hasn't played very much this season. But when you get into the season or the postseason,
right,
you think Mookie's going to be scared? You think Clayton Kershaw's going to be the least bit uncomfortable? You think any of like Walker Buehler or Max Scherzer or Trey Turner or Chris Taylor or Max Muncy or any of these guys, when they get in the box, are like, oh, my gosh, this is the playoffs. What do we do now? Hell no. They're going to be as comfortable because it's like you said, it's pedigree and it's talent.
And also, too, you're not pressing the panic button yet. I mean, guys will play hurt, right? Guys are on the IL now. I get it. But you're still in August. Once you get to September, you just know, like, okay, you're going to have to play hurt. That's just what it is. I mean, I think we applaud Anthony Davis last year, but we knew he was hurt. Like, the groin was hurt. But it's like, I got to be out there. I want to be out there. Now, he just couldn't do it, but you understand it. Same thing with the Dodgers. They are going to get healthy at the right time. They will be healthy. They got to go.
Yeah. All right. Let's take our first phone call of the day. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Let's go to Justin. Justin, you're on with Travis and Kirk. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. You know what this team really reminds me of is the 2018 team, where they had to kind of chase down the Rockies, play a game 163. Mm-hmm. But you just knew that there's something's going to eventually click. They're chasing down a team that's not as good as them. And eventually those guys are going to come back. The Giants have been standing on their heads all year long, and they said keep waiting for that bad stretch. They're not going to have a bad stretch, but they could have, like, I think Travis said the other day, like a 5-5, and suddenly you're two games back, and then it's September and you have that three game series with them, and suddenly you end up that series and you're a game up on them after it. It feels like they're slowly chasing down a team that they're just that much better than.
Yeah, I think there's something there, Justin. Appreciate the phone call. Kirk, are you a fan of track at all?
I love track and field, especially in Olympics, right? I love track.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you've watched a million races, especially when you get into the races like the 400 and the 800, right?
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Anything over the 800, that's long distance for me, and that's what I turn off.
Yeah. Okay. So, but by the way, the 400 is long distance for me. The 200 is long distance, but that's a story for another day. But this is what I'm talking about. You see a guy that's drafting off that guy in the front, right? And even if that guy's at a pace that he's at a lot faster than he typically is, and maybe you're a little further back than you'd like to be, once you catch that guy, you're going right by him, and he's not going past you again. Yeah. Once you pass them, that's a wrap. And this kind of feels like what it is with the Dodgers. The Giants probably have a little more of a lead than the Dodgers were comfortable with, but if the Dodgers can catch them and go past them, you're not running past them again before the finish line. If the Dodgers get there and go by, they're going to be able to hold them off. You don't pass and then fall back and then pass again. That's not how it works.
No, it's not at all. And look, the pace setter right now is the Giants. But all of a sudden, you feel that steam and you get to that final stretch, and you always know somebody's nipping at your heels. That's the one thing. The Giants don't have to look backwards. They don't have to look. They can hear. They can hear the Dodgers, right? Now, see, I see all the pressures on the Giants to maintain the lead that they have. The Dodgers are the underdog because they're playing catch-up. It's a lot easier to play catch-up than it is to maintain.
All right, we're going to get back to the Dodgers coming up in a little bit. But coming up next, in 15 minutes, we got Bunch of Funch coming up. Next is Shohei Ohtani. What he is doing is absolutely amazing. But is it the greatest season in the history of baseball? We will get into it next. It's Travis and Slee with Kirk in for Slee.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You ready for this, Kirk?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Francis in Glendale says, did that Jeff Hostetler jersey come with a fake mustache?
Yeah.
See, 10-year-old Kirk Morrison rolling around with a Jeff Hostetler jersey with a little taped-on plastic mustache. It's so good.
That was one of the better stashes, right? He's first team all mustache.
For sure. Him and Raleigh Fingers, right? They're right up near the top. That has to be absolutely surreal for you. And I know that we've talked about this a couple different times, but as a kid growing up in the East Bay, as a huge Raider fan, to end up playing for the Raiders, how many times a day were you like, is this really happening to me?
Man, it's so many times I go back, Travis, and just think about it because I sat in the same seats, I sat in the seats as a fan, rain, sleet, snow, it doesn't matter, too hot, it didn't matter. I was in those same stands, and then all of a sudden, I was looking down on what I wanted to be at one point, and it happened. And so always go back to my first preseason game. When people say preseason games don't matter, Travis, they do, because I remember I'm going out to a preseason game, first one, literally North Turner, who was the head coach, says, all right, Morrison, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here now, so go make it happen. And he took me out of my focus, Travis. He took me out of my focus because I was so locked in on playing in a preseason game that it never occurred to me that, like, I'm, like, living out a dream that I thought would never happen. And so here I am coming out of the tunnel, and I'm over here weeping like a baby, like a big, giant baby, like weeping to a point where, I mean, Warren Sapp, who was my teammate, said, I don't know if we can have a middle linebacker crying like this. Like, I was crying for a preseason game, Travis, because, like, all the
Shut
emotions.
Shut up, Sapp. I'm emotional here. Let me have my emotions.
All the emotions hit me at one time. It hit me hard, too, Travis. Yeah. But,
of course.
Yeah, always. Always.
Very
great
cool.
Memories, though.
Very cool. Travis and Sleeves brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So, Kirk, a dude last night hit his 40th home run. That's the most in Major League Baseball.
Correct.
He was the pitcher in an American League game when he hit his 40th home run, and it wasn't because he was mopping up like Jose Canseco a million years ago. He was picking up his eighth win.
Yeah.
He's 8-1. He struck out 8 guys last night, and he walked none. And like we said a few minutes ago, Shohei Ohtani is the American League MVP, and he doesn't need to throw another pitch or hit another home run. He's the MVP. It's over. It's just over. The question that's starting to get tossed around in, is this the greatest season of all time? And it's the most jaw-dropping season of all time to me. It is the most indescribable season of all time, because I don't know how to articulate what this is. I've tried to come up with other analogies. This would be like a guy sacking the quarterback 15 times and throwing 45 touchdown passes. That's what he's doing.
Right.
Okay, that's what he's doing. It just doesn't compute. It doesn't come together in any understandable way. But I don't know if it can be the greatest season of all time when the team is a 500 team. They're on the fringes, barely relevant in a wild card race. Something extraordinarily weird would have to happen for them to slide into the playoffs. Can it be the greatest season of all time if the games that you're playing really aren't that important? It's extraordinary, but I don't know if it's the best season ever.
No, I don't believe it's the best season ever. It's honestly a season in which no one is even truly paying attention to outside of Orange County, maybe LA County it stretches to, but like Major League Baseball as a whole, yeah, we're keeping our eye on Ohtani because it's great. But I just feel like he's being shortchanged because these games should be on national television every night. These games should be watched as this team should be in a pennant race, right? And I know Mike Trout's hurt, but man, if Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani both are out there playing, this should be must-see TV. Like, there's no way that I look at what the Dodgers are doing and I'm saying I love watching them and we know their names. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know who's on the Angels outside of Shohei Ohtani because I'm not watching anybody else on the team. I am watching Shohei and Shohei only. And I said, look, you could just bring cut-ins of Shohei Ohtani. That's what you should start doing. I know the Angels aren't a good baseball team right now, but if we're watching national games, if we're watching, let's just give me a small box, all right, a little picture.
He's coming up.
Yeah. Hey, coming up, Shohei Ohtani's back. That's the only way that you can get more understanding of what he's doing, because right now, I'll be honest, a lot of people are just look at the box score at the end of the night and say, oh, Ohtani had a great game. And that's it. I don't even need to see the highlights. Ohtani did great. Pitched 8, had a homer. Good. Next page. Like, that's just how it is right now.
It's such a shame because what he's doing is unprecedented. To say that it's great doesn't even begin to cover it. It's unprecedented. We know that Babe Ruth hit and pitched and did really well doing both, but you know, he didn't do this. We've never seen a guy hit 40 home runs and be 8-1 and strike out 8 guys and not. I mean, this is unprecedented. And I just keep coming back to Mike Trout. Mike Trout's missed most of the season with a calf injury. Hopefully, he comes back before the end of the year. But who knows? I don't know. Mike Trout's been in the major leagues 10 years.
Really?
10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's only been 5, but 10.
10.
And has 10. He won a playoff game?
No. 0. He's only played in 3 of them. They got swept by the Royals. They lost 0-3. They lost boom, 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 3 in a row, which, you know, whatever. That happens. But to only have been – Mike Trout is Willie Mays. Okay, he's Willie Mays. He needs to play, you know, another 5 or 8 years to continue to play like this, to put up those. But this is a guy that can run. This is a guy that catches everything. This is a guy that hits for power. This is a guy that gets on base. This is a guy that he's as complete everything. A package as you could ever want to see. And he's been in the league 10 years and hasn't won a playoff game. And it's not because he hasn't done anything. It's because the Angels don't pitch.
Yep.
And I look at Ohtani, and I'm thinking, we're really not going to have Willie Mays in center field and Babe Ruth as our DH and number one pitcher and not play in the playoffs, right? That's not really going to happen. But that's what's happened so far. And it's just extraordinary to think about what this phenomenon would be if it was on a team that was good. On a team, think if Shohei Ohtani picked up his 8th win and hit his 40th home run last night on the Yankees as they're trying to reel down the Jays and trying to get back into the wild card spot. Think about the hysteria that would come along with that.
I mean, it would lead SportsCenter. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. It would be the leading topic on SportsCenter. Ohtani does magic again, right? That's just what it would be. But for right now, it's in a market that's a little bit different, right? It's kind of a quirky market. This is a Dodgers market. So predominantly a lot of Southern California fans are Dodger fans. The Angels fans are more of a regional. It's more of an Orange County. Now you get a little bit of spread outside of it, but not much. And so when you don't necessarily have that national brand, it is going to be difficult for Shohei Ohtani. It is going to be difficult for Mike Trout. But to think that Mike Trout has been in the league 10 years and I can't give you a magical Mike Trout playoff moment. I can't give you that World Series moment. Like that, to me, his career can't go that way. Because think about it. Look, he's won awards, MVPs, all that's great. But if you ask me right now, give me your Mike Trout moment.
Yeah.
I don't have one, Travis. Think about it. I don't have one. I can't say, you remember what Mike Trout did? Wait, no, I can't. No.
Right.
Wait, you remember Mike Trout? I've seen him catch a homer. I mean, steal a homer. I've seen him hit homers. I just don't have that moment that's locked in my brain that says, man, I remember that one time that he hit a home run when they were down 0-2 in game 2 of the division series. I don't have that.
Put simply as possible, Cody Bellinger has had more of those moments, and he's a quarter of the player.
Yeah.
Cody Bellinger has home runs in the World Series, robbing Tatis in the playoffs. We remember him like they were yesterday because they happened in the playoffs.
Yep.
Mike Trout hasn't had a chance to do that. Lots more on Ohtani. If that's not the greatest season ever, which one is? Go ahead and weigh in on that, 877-710-ESPN. And if you had to choose Ohtani or Trout, which way are you going right there? We'll get into all of that. But coming up next, it's Bunch of Funch. This is Travis and Slee, Kirk in for Slee on 710 ESPN. Hey, what if you could put the same type of rigor that pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. And then you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is a pretty good answer right here. We'll get to it in a second. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. The question on Twitter, Kirk, was, is Shohei having the best season of all time? The ESPN LA handle tweeted that out, and somebody responded, it is. If they're talking about the Angels on 710, it must be. So there you go. That goes to speak to what we were talking about, how good he's been. Lots more Ohtani, and what do you do, Ohtani or Trout, coming up. But first, it's Bunch of Funch. What do you got? Force Bunch.
All right, guys, you know the name JaQuincy McKinstry.
JaQuincy McKinstry?
No.
Okay, he's a freshman cornerback on the Alabama football team, and he may have just gotten the best endorsement deal based on his nickname.
Is this Kool-Aid?
This is Kool-Aid. This is Kool-Aid.
Yeah, okay.
This is Kool-Aid. Now, his nickname is Kool-Aid. He's even listed as Kool-Aid on a Crimson Tide official roster.
Okay.
So, I mean, do you guys know the story? Kool-Aid reached out to him, the drink. They reached out to McKinstry, and they said, hey, you know, let's make a deal. You know, now college athletes can do that now.
Yeah.
So they both traded their Instagrams and their Twitter accounts for today, yesterday, actually, and... You know, I'm just fascinated with this dude's name because it's like the best name I've ever heard in sports. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah, that's his name, Kool-Aid McKinstry. So with that in mind, fellas, what are some of the best names in sports? I'll start with you, Travis.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just, are we talking nicknames here? Is that where we're going with?
No, or nicknames
are we
or original
like
names.
Given names.
Given names, nicknames, you tell me.
Okay, well, so as far as... just nicknames go, there's one that's always kind of stood out to me. They, you know, you could go Big Hurt with Frank Thomas. That's a good one. You go Big Unit with Randy Johnson. That's a good one. But there was a little-known guy. I think he made an All-Star team or two. He's on to some good teams. You guys remember Travis Hafner? He played first base for the Indians for a long time.
Yeah, I remember the name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So Travis, he resembled Shrek a little bit, okay? Okay. And so, but they called him Pronk because... he was half project and half donkey. So they decided that they were going to nickname him Pronk, which is still my favorite sports nickname of all time.
Funny.
But is this like Pablo Sandoval, Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah, kind of. Except for I'm not entirely sure where the onk part of this comes, but there you go, Pronk. Kirk?
Well, I got to use my college football background here because there are some awesome names this year, Travis, Emily, Funch, guys who you can watch. North Carolina, UNC, they have a defensive back by the name of, government name, Storm Duck.
Storm
like
Duck.
Like a duck
yes.
on water?
Storm Duck. That's his name.
Man, that's,
Storm
that's
Duck.
Even better.
Number 29 for them. One of the best names in college football right now, running back over at Kentucky. Kavassier Smoke.
Kavassier.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, there was a – he was at ASU last year. I don't know if he's in the league now. He might still be at ASU. But there's a point guard on the ASU basketball team named Remy Martin.
Yes.
Wow. There must be a Hennessy out there then.
Yeah.
yes. And then the last one is a wide receiver over at LSU. By the name of, and this is his real name. I want people to understand it. His real name, D-A, Coldest, C-O-L-D-E-S-T, the Coldest Crawford.
The Coldest.
Yeah, the Coldest.
No, I love it.
For people who are listening, you just go look it up. Go type it in, LSU wide receiver, the Coldest Crawford. That is his real government name, by the way, Travis.
Outstanding.
Not a nickname, the Coldest.
So good. What's next, Funch?
All right, guys. So we had some talk yesterday, some NFL Hall of Fame talk with you and DeMarco yesterday, Travis. And even we were talking about it in the control room, me and Emily, about guys making the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. ProFootballReference.com has a gauge based on players' careers, a percentage chance of making the Hall of Fame. So with that, we're going to play the Hall of Fame probability game.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a player. You guys give me the percentage chance he has of making a haul, and the person closest to the number without going over will get the point.
Okay.
And is this on first time, or is this at all, like making it to the Hall of Fame?
I'm sorry. Say that again, Emily.
Is this on the first time that he could be on the ballot, or is this of all time if he can ever get
all,
to the Hall of Fame?
All time. Of all time.
Okay, yeah, just get in, yeah.
All right, cool.
First ballots, yeah. I mean,
so with that, we'll start with L.A. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. You guys give me a percentage chance of him making a Hall of Fame.
Oh,
go ahead, I'll say that Matt Stafford has a 65% chance of ending up in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh, I will go, I'll say 75%. 75%.
I'm going to go 56.
Wow, you guys all went over.
Mm.
Ooh.
ProFootballReference.com has Matthew Stafford at 49.6% of making a Hall of Fame right now.
50-50 shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Emily's going to get the point.
Mine is
till Matt Stafford takes the Rams to the Super Bowl
exactly.
this year.
There you go.
Might go up another 20% after that.
That number's going right up to the top.
Yep.
All right, guys. We're going to go to troublemaker Antonio Brown.
Ooh, good question. Kirk, you want to go first on
this one? Yeah, I'll go first on this one. I'd say Antonio Brown, I would give him an 80% chance to make the Hall of Fame.
His resume, the problem is...
Got a ring, seven-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro.
If his resume was just his Pro Football Reference page, he would be 100%.
Right.
The problem is the resume has a backside, and it has all the other stuff on it, too. So that has to go into... I'm going to say... I'm going to go again 65%.
Emily.
I'm going to probably go 70. I think that I'm going to kind of split the difference between you guys because again, I feel like people who have had bad reputations have still gotten to the Hall of Fame. So right. I think it's going to happen.
Kurt Morrison gets the point. He has a 98% chance of making a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
98.
The one criteria that I always have thought about with the Hall of Fame is that were you the most dominant player in your era? And 4 years in a row, he was an All-Pro. I've seen guys with less All-Pros go to the Hall of Fame.
All right, guys. The last one here. We'll make this worth 10 points. So basically, whoever gets this last question is going to win the game here. So we're going to go Rob Gronkowski.
Oh,
98%.
That's 100.
Yeah.
I'm going 100 as well. No chance he's not in the Hall of Fame. First ballot itself.
Well, guys, looks like Travis wins the game because Rob Gronkowski has a 90% chance of making the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Here's why it's not 100.
Why?
He could rob a bank tomorrow, and if he does, he's not going in. That's why it's not 100. Let me be very clear. I'm not – if he were deceased – he would be 100% chance to go in. But the fact that he's still out there able to make a bad decision or two, maybe that's what takes that final 10% off of the way. Speaking of the NFL, Kirk and I are going to talk about the Rams and the practice that they had yesterday, the joint practice with the Raiders. It's pretty sloppy along the way. I'll ask Kirk whether or not he thinks we have anything to worry about right there. But if you had to make the pick, Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout, that's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.